It's where you go to bike, hike, and stroll miles of pathways over more than 7,000 acres of parkland. A place to go explore rivers and fish their bountiful waters. Natural places to go marvel at magnificent wildlife while you play outdoors and go wander charming communities. Find all this and more at Destination Downriver. Give it a go.
Today's podcast is presented by MarketInsights.us. With the podcast on YouTube, produced by the City of Taylor's Media Center. Thank you for the generous support of our community sponsor. When your destination is beyond downriver, let Martinson Family of Funeral Homes help you and your family. With locations in Trenton, Allen Park, Mabee, Rockwood, and Monroe, their staff is available 24/7 at 734-671-5400. For more information, visit martinson.com.
Thank you to our team sponsor, Allegra, Marketing, Print, and Design. Let Allegra assist you with your print, mail, design, and signs. Located in Wyandotte, Michigan, or call 734-284-5330.
Hi, I'm Carl Zymak, and welcome to Destination Downriver. Fall is a season of festivals, and across Downriver, communities are gearing up. It's a time of year when contrasting personalities of Downriver are in play between the region's rural roots, riverfront parklands, and small communities. The changing leaves and crisp air will be a respite from the hot summer. Each event acts as a platform to showcase the diverse heritages that make up our region. They are also great opportunities to meet and support the who's who of the local business and arts community. During this episode, we will focus on the Detroit River International Wildlife Refuge, Point Mouillet's Waterfowl Festival, Huron Township's Apple Fest, and two events coming up in Trenton, the Art Festival and Lobstover Fest. Joining us today in the next five segments are Dan Kennedy, manager of the Wildlife Refuge, Michelle Tangay, artist and one of the organizers behind Trenton's inaugural art festival, Bob Whitwam, executive director at Point Mouillet for the Waterfowl Festival, Mike Glabe, one of the prime movers behind Huron Township's Apple Fest, and Rita Belanger and Angie Gazzaro, Trenton's very own rustic glam divas and owners of the Vintage Mercantile and Market. We'll be right back with our guests after this. We're back, and we're here with Mike Glabe of Huron Township's Apple Fest, one of the fun downriver fall events every year. For how many years now?
This year will be the 45th year, Carl.
Wow.
45th year.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing you haven't been there all 45.
Well.
Or have you?
I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And when it started, and our family at that time had a pizzeria business that was in town. So I was working in that business. And today, at age 63, I'm chairman of the festival and have been for about over 20 years at this point.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Being the chairman of any big event like that can be a double-edged sword.
Sure.
Now, how many times does it cut you?
Well, we have a great community. Mm-hmm. We have a great mm-hmm. core group of volunteers, mm-hmm. and it's been fun. That's mm-hmm. why I'm still there. But at times it's challenging. Mm-hmm. And like any community, when they put on a festival, there's a lot of great ideas, but to implement those, it takes a team. Mm-hmm. We've had a great team, and as long as we have that, I'm still involved and interested.
Now, before we came on the set, you were telling me that, like many other communities, Huron Township, this isn't necessarily a line item for Huron Township.
Correct.
They help out, but you go a lot of different places to get your money and stuff like that, but it's worked well for you guys.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So, the Apple Fest is a 501c3 mm-hmm. organization. It has been from the inception. As I was mentioning, through coordination with the township, and they've been fantastic. So through cooperation with some of the services they can provide along with what we do, it's been a fantastic partnership. And as long as that continues, we will be there every year in October. And it's worked great, really has.
It's been fantastic. Tell us, what are visitors going to see if they go to the Apple Fest?
Well, we have, the Apple Fest has about 200 available booth spaces, and those can be occupied by typical street fair food that you see in various festivals. We try to change it when we can, but we kind of know what works and what vendors work well with us. So some of it is you've seen in the past, but we try to introduce new things as well to keep the interest up with the festival. So street food, if you will, food trucks, food booths. We have arts and crafts. We have baked goods. We have Apple products. So we have a mixture, but we try to maintain a pretty high quality if we can and try to bring those vendors in.
Now, once those vendors get kind of hooked into one, do they have a tendency to come back? Do you have vendors that are
they
there
do.
All the time?
They do. We have, repeat vendors, if you will, for many, many years. I mean, they love this festival. We bring a lot of people to the festival, which contributes to their bottom line, and they love it. I mean, it's one of their main events during the year. So yeah, we do have repeat vendors every year.
Do you guys get a feel for the numbers that you run through those 2 days?
We actually do. The township ran a study trying to evaluate the downtown area and what types of opportunities might work in the community. And in October, if you look at the chart, is when people enter the township and stay in the township. In October, there was a huge spike. And they flat out said that was due to Apple Fest. So we bring in a lot of people. I guess the estimation in that report was of about 10,000 additional people that weekend.
That's significant.
And it's significant, sure. So it does have an impact. And glad to be a part of that. That's what we want in the community.
Do you feel like where are the people coming from?
Certainly a majority would be here in Township, Downriver area, but we have some of our vendors are as far as Traverse City and some Indiana, so we kind of capture the whole gamut, but mainly Downriver visitors.
Okay, yeah. Alrighty. Now, when it comes to entertainment, are there some competitions and things like that?
Yes, so we've been hosting now it's kind of a long name, let me get this right, the Michigan State Old-Time Michigan State Fiddlers Contest. It's a sanctioned fiddlers contest. Our entertainment director, Tommy McKinney, puts that together. So we have that, and that's been going on for years. I mean, years. But it's a great show, great event. We have some local artists, some local bands. And then we also have Apple Pie Contest, which we've been doing for several years now. And anybody can participate in that. Just drop your pie off on Saturday, fill out a form, hand over $10 for the entry fee, and then Apple Fest committee takes care of the rest. But that's always a great part of the event.
Well, that's fantastic. And you were telling me this, you know, unlike a lot of summer festivals and things like that, you're not looking at beer tents and huge bands and things like that. This is pretty much family entertainment.
Sure. We think the chemistry is good. We want to keep it family oriented, community oriented, and we find that just works. You know, it's not all about money. It's about what we can do for the community. And one of our goals is to contribute back to the community any excess funds that we might have, various projects that we have contributed to, the fire department's safety house. So they do, during the festival, they have this trailer which they have young children go through and kind of teach them fire safety and how to respond to fire alarms. And the Apple Fest was a big contributor to that program, along with other things. Public safety needs, we contribute to that. We've contributed to scholarships. We've contributed to sending some of the police reserves through their training. So we're active. We try to give back as much as we can, keeping in mind we do need some funds to keep the festival going. So there's a line there that we try to stay within.
It sounds fantastic. Now, the Apple Fest will be going October the 25th and 26th.
Actually, it's the October 5th and 6th.
Oh, 5th and 6th.
Yes.
Okay.
It's always the first weekend of October.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That's good.
So, yes.
Can you give us What's the breakdown on like times and stuff generally?
So Saturday, the festival will run from 9 a.m. To 7 p.m. And Sunday runs from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And again, in October, we have limited daylight. So sooner we can get out of there on Sunday, the better. But limited hours due to sunlight.
Yeah. Now, does this festival always start with a parade and things like that?
We have a parade. It doesn't start with a parade, but we do have a parade on Saturday starting at 1 p.m. It's a very good parade. Judge Tina Brooks Green has been the chairperson of that committee for years and has done a fantastic job. And she's at it again this year, so we expect to see a good parade.
So how long do you plan on staying with the Apple Fest from a personal standpoint? You've been doing this for a really long time.
I have, yes. My energy is still there. I still have an interest in seeing the community showcased every October. I mean, that's one of our goals is to showcase the community. And, you know, I love the people we work with. And as long as that chemistry is there and they're willing to have me, I'll be a part of it.
Now, if anybody wants to get involved, whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's a sponsorship, a volunteer, whatever, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is through our website, which has gone through some dramatic improvement due to new talent that, that we've been able to work with. And that website is HuronTownshipApplefest.com.
Okay.
Very
just
easy. HuronTownshipApplefest.com. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, fantastic. It sounds like it's coming up fairly soon. It's only probably a little more than a month off.
It is.
Hopefully you'll get good weather and it'll be another great Apple Fest.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to Mike Glabe joining us. And we'll be back with another one of our panelists in a minute. Joining us now are Rena and Angie. Rena?
Ballinger.
Angie?
Gazzardo.
Okay. And they are from the?
Vintage Market.
Vintage Market. See, I made about three mistakes before we did this take, so I'm letting them handle this now. And you guys are the drivers behind a somewhat new, and it's
Lobstoberfest.
Lobstoberfest, okay, which is scheduled for September the 28th in Trenton.
Yes.
Let's start, and before we were on set, you kind of rolled me through this. How did this start?
Lobstoberfest started actually through Tirago, the restaurant down in Trenton. Jeremy started it on a smaller scale, bringing in lobsters and doing a lobster buffet. We had a store in downtown Trenton and got together with all the businesses and said we can piggyback off this and make it a little bigger.
Okay.
And this was like 3 years
ago.
This
is our third year. Yeah.
Okay. And it snowballed from there.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
A giant lobster buffet and food trucks and live bands all day, a beer tent, all sorts of stuff, 100 vendors in the street, kids entertainment, Jurassic Park comes with all their big dinosaurs. So the event really features something for everyone.
My goodness, did you expect it to really roll out the way it has?
Because
it sounds like it's really turned into something very, very special.
I mean, it's a combination of October, everything, fall, and lobster, and those are the two best things, so.
Well, that's for sure, that's for sure. You two ladies, how did you ever get into what you're doing now?
Well, we've known each other for like over 11 years now, and we used to refinish furniture ourselves, like vintage pieces. And back then there was nowhere to sell like things we created. You can't take big furniture to a street fair and expect it to sell. So over a glass of wine, we said, why don't we start our own event? And that's where the Vintage Market was born. We invited like maybe 30 of our closest small business friends, and we actually popped up at the Trenton Cultural Center. We were there for about two events. It was too big, so we moved to Elizabeth Park. We were there for one event, and we realized we needed to be on fairgrounds after that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
It escalated very quickly.
Response.
Yeah, it grew very quickly.
Were you really, really happy about that?
Yes.
Okay. Happy, scared?
Scared.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of everything, but we knew we had something we had something good.
Yeah.
So.
What about doing the furnituring and all of that stuff, is that something that you still do?
No.
Or?
Well, not so much furniture anymore. We turned more into pickers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we travel all over the country picking items, and our side business is Back Row Divas, and we take that to all of our markets.
Okay.
So
right.
we have a booth at all of our markets selling vintage pieces and antique pieces. But instead of doing the furniture, we go to Texas.
Like,
we go to
antiques, natural things now instead of painting them.
Okay, let me put you on the spot. Let's start with you. Tell me your favorite story out of one of these ventures.
You already know what I'm going
to you're stuck to one, and you're on deck, so you get another one.
You already know what I'm
the same story. We've gotten into a few
Well, it's okay if you piggyback on the same story.
So we were picking once in Springfield, Ohio. I don't know if anybody remembers, but it was a few years ago when Ohio got like five tornadoes all in one night. It was crazy. But we were digging through a hoarder barn. We went to our van to load everything up. My side of the door, you couldn't open from the outside. Somebody had to reach over and let you in, but we had filled the van up with so much stuff you couldn't get over. Long story short, anyway, the tornado sirens went off, the sky was black, hail started coming down on us, and I was standing outside of the van yelling and begging for Angie to let me in, but she couldn't let me in, so instead she just laughed at me, but that was really fun.
Okay, so now on the other end of that story, what's the real story?
I mean, I left her outside in the middle of a tornado. Literally, we could see it coming in our back window.
Literally,
and
what happened.
As scared as we were, we couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting in the van and taking off, and there was a tornado behind us.
Yeah, and at our hotel that night, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was like a scene out of Twister?
It was.
Yeah, it
really?
Was scary.
American Pickers and Twister.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. But now, how did you, the two of you, now you've been friends.
Yeah.
How did you get into that type of venture where you're going around to different places? Is that?
We always,
It kind of snowballed from our markets as well.
Okay.
I mean, we're going on 11, 12 years now in the market business. And so I think that just kind of snowballed from it. You know, we met a ton of people that have been in this business for many, many years, and we've learned so much from them, and they've pointed us in different directions of, you know, where the big markets are. And we went a couple years ago to Texas, and we it's one of the biggest flea markets ever. It's Round Top, Texas.
Yeah.
And we brought a lot of that back downriver.
Wow.
A lot of it.
We've just always really loved vintage items, so we decided let's start to it. That's actually how Backroad Divas happened, because we had our own personal businesses for like vintage wares, and we were traveling all the time together, and we were like, why don't we just have one business that doesn't make any sense? So that's where Backroad Divas came from.
Are there a lot of people that do the same thing?
And well, in our line of business, that's all we see.
Yeah.
That's all we know now.
Because,
like I said, we've been going on 11 years, and we've surrounded ourselves with these people that have been doing this, and it's their livelihood for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So.
Now, are your families involved with this?
Oh, well, they don't want to be.
Our husbands are. Do they want to be? They've been.
But yes, they are.
Yes. My son has grown up, and he'll be 18, and that's all he knows now.
Yeah.
Have you ever left him out on the twister?
No.
Just me.
You're the unique
I'm
one.
I'm special, I guess.
Where did you ladies grow up? Did you grow up in?
I grew up in Flat Rock.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I grew up in Lincoln Park.
Okay. Yep. Alrighty. Okay. Yeah, and how did you make your way to?
Well, our
Trenton.
First show, she lived in Trenton at the time,
okay.
So our first event was in Trenton. Mm-hmm. We always knew if we wanted to open a brick and mortar, we wanted to come back to Trenton, because that's where it all started.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives on Groziel now, so we're working with Groziel for events next year. We're working with Trenton for a lot more events. We just really want to focus on bringing good things to Downriver.
How many events can you do a year?
100.
Could you do that?
We could do.
Yeah, we average one a month.
Okay.
Yeah,
because they've grown to be such a big scale that it takes us a month to put that event on.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we could do more, but
we could do. Yeah. Mm. It's our full-time job now.
Are you scheduled out?
Next year? Yes.
Yeah.
We're scheduled out for next year. Yes.
My goodness.
And we're bringing more downriver next year, so we're really excited about
it. Well, that is fabulous. And how far are you going when you leave downriver?
Kalamazoo is probably our farthest one.
Yeah.
Armada. We're kind of all over the place.
Okay.
Monroe County. We do a lot at Monroe County Fairgrounds.
That's our home base.
Yeah.
You ladies are fascinating. I could spend an hour with you. But we're here for Lobstover.
Yes, Lobstover.
Now, tell me what is a visitor going to see when they go to that?
Oh, a little bit of everything. I mean, last year we had people dressed up as lobsters walking around and as butter. It's taken on a life of its own. It really has.
Okay.
So
we do like 100 to 150 vendors from the vintage market in the street. So that's vintage. There's clothing boutiques, jewelry, upscale handmade. They're really nice vendors with really quality products. We have live bands all day. We got some great bands to play this year. Phoenix Theory will headline and close down the show. The Big Lobster Buffet. There's food trucks, treat trucks. Jurassic Park is pretty cool. We have Jurassic Park Motor Pool coming. They dress up in these big giant raptor suits and walk around. They have things the kids can ride. It's a really cool experience. And face paint and all of that too.
Wow, that is really fantastic. Is there a price to this?
No, it's a free event. Okay. You do have to pay for the buffet.
Okay.
It'll be posted on the event page on Facebook once Chirago finalizes the menu.
Okay.
But even then, no tickets are needed. You just walk up to the buffet and they let you in.
And your Facebook page is?
You can check out everything on the Vintage Market LLC.
Okay.
And if you hit our tab, of our little tab that says events, you'll find all the events that we have planned.
Now, you two strike me as... you've got something going right now over here, but there's four other things thinking about over here.
We're focused on Lobstoberfest, but we came in here talking to Kalamazoo people.
Yeah, so earlier today we just booked all our shows for next year.
Okay, what's the most, let me put you out there, okay, on a limb. What's the most exciting thing that you're thinking about when it comes to next year's schedule?
Well, this year we still have two of our...
Every year it's Wicked Picking.
Wicked Picking.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So Wicked Picking's at the Monroe County Fairgrounds. It's always the first weekend in October.
Okay.
It's our biggest event.
Massive.
And this is like a Halloween
release. Yes.
Okay.
But we took a little bit of Wicked Picking this year and we're bringing it to downtown Trenton.
Oh yeah, which is Night Out.
Which is Night Out.
Really?
And it's gone crazy already. So we have 100 dancing witches in the street.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So we're very excited. Because
Wicked
Picking's always been our mothership. So to bring a little of that downriver, we're very excited.
Yeah.
Now somehow Wicked Picking and leaving somebody outside the vehicle.
Yeah,
Twister.
She's wicked. Seems, that's where we got
yes,
it from.
Exactly.
Pretty
seems
sure
to match.
We came up with Wicked Picking.
It probably
weekend.
Is. Yeah.
Now I was reading online, and heaven knows I got a lot of things wrong when I was reading online because you guys have a lot of background out there. Do you guys still do a blog?
No.
Okay.
We used to, but honestly, as the time, as
there's
the year goes on,
time.
It just feels like blogs aren't read as they used to be, you know.
Okay.
Not as many views, so we kind of put that on the back burner.
All right. Well, what are you looking forward to most from this event in Taylor? And
Lobstoberfest?
Yeah.
Just the fun, I guess. It's really fun hanging out with all our vendor friends and even all the restaurant friends. Like, we work with Roundhouse Barbecue, too, puts the event on with us, and so does Christina from Freckles and Grit. So we have formed these really great bonds with these other business owners, and all of our vendors, they have followed us around for over 10 years now. So it's really fun to kind of, like, hang out with your friends for the day. That's what I like most.
Any huge sponsors that play a factor in this?
Yes, we do.
Do you want to mention
them? That helps us tremendously put on this show.
Trenton DDA is our biggest sponsor, and we are forever grateful for what they contribute. We have, what's the other big
Tim
one
Monty.
This year? DJ Tim Monty, he sponsors. I know JSP Dental in Trenton, they'll be a sponsor. The Trenton
Smith.
Rotary, E.W. Smith, the list goes on. Holbrook's Roofing, I know. We have a whole list.
There's
that'll
a lot of
all be posted.
Businesses that help us create.
Yeah.
Put this event on because it's costly, so it helps.
And when you talk about how expansive is it when it comes to Trenton and various streets and stuff,
it's where, just like the summer festival, just like the street fair, we close off the same exact roads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's
about
down West Jefferson.
Three blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a little bit of West. It's closed at West Road and then West Jefferson for about three blocks.
Okay, well, fantastic. Well, I think people need to put that as a red letter date on their
yes,
calendar.
It's one not to miss.
It. Yeah.
Okay, well, fantastic. Rena, Angie, do not leave her out in any more twisters.
Please.
It's been a pleasure, okay?
Yes,
and we'll be
you.
Right back with another portion of our fall entertainment. Our next panel, we have Dan Kennedy, manager of the Detroit River International Wildlife Refuge, the longest title in the history of the world, and Bob Whitwam, executive director for the Pointe Mouillée Waterfowl Festival, which is scheduled for September the 14th and 15th. Welcome, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
Let's start with you, Bob. Okay, tell us about the Waterfowl Festival, one of the longest running events in this region.
Yes. It's the 76th event we've had. Of course, in a COVID year, we had to cancel it, but it's all dedicated to Point Mule State game area. Mm-hmm. And it's the uniqueness of it is because how Point Mule was rebuilt by the Army Corps of Engineers for the dredging material from the Lawrence Seaway, it's a constant battle to keep it contained, meaning that it's taking a beating from the weather and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's always needs upkeep. So mm-hmm. we get together with the monies that we generate from there, which we're a 501c3 group. Mm-hmm. And we work with other groups, the Ducks Unlimited and Waterfowl USA and International Refuge, mm-hmm. and contribute some of that money back into that part of into Point Mule and help rebuild that and sustain that. Mm-hmm. So we're basically our festival is a conservation preservation group, mm-hmm. and we do a lot of other things. We've last 2020 we built an ADA blind, mm-hmm. and it's the best thing about this blind, it's 200 feet long, it's a hunting blind and during the management unit hunting times, but it's also a boardwalk that everyone can use during any part of the year. Bird watchers, it's not so much good for fishing because it's usually dry, but it helps anybody and opens it up to everybody that can use it, that wants to use it. Mm-hmm. And that was one of our goals to do, and now we're getting ready for our second one, which hopefully by 2025 we'll have all our plans and now our bids out, and we're going to build another one in Unit 22, which will be 180 foot long. But this spot is unique because it's a very good birding area, mm-hmm. not just for duck hunting, but for the summer and spring and fall as well. This will hopefully bring people in that have never been able to get in a marsh, actually get into it, mm-hmm. and see what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And the uniqueness of these two blinds is you can drive out there, unload your stuff during hunting times, and you can leave your vehicle at one of the stations at the Unit 22, and you can leave your vehicle out there. So it gives you access to everybody, and it opens it up to a wide range of people now, not just during hunting season, but year-round.
How did the Waterfowl Festival get started way back when?
Well, it's an interesting story.
Okay.
And it started back from, I was told this by Ed Lizotte Jr. Mm-hmm. His dad, Ed Lizotte Sr., was one of the founders. Hydelka. I'm trying to remember, Pete Petoskey, and I'll think of the other guy's name mm-hmm. in a minute. But they heard people talking in 1947, who's the best punter, who's the best decoy, you know, who can set their lines out the best, who can shoot. Mm-hmm. And so they got together. Hydelka, who was the first chairperson of the events, mm-hmm. started it out. Now, we were used to be called the Michigan Duck Hunters Tournament. Mm-hmm. That's how it started. So all these guys came out, and it was an all-day thing. They threw all their stuff out, and guys, actual other hunters, judged them. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. And the actual court, the public event, started in 1948. Mm-hmm. So, and then from there, it blossomed to where we are now. Mm-hmm. We changed the name because it's not just duck hunters. Mm-hmm. This involves everybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody that bird watches, fishes, hunts, boats, recreational boaters, kayakers. Mm-hmm. This involves everybody that comes to this event. There's something for everybody there. But it started with guys that were duck hunters, mm-hmm. and now it's blossomed into something that is today, which is a really good thing. And all our money generated goes right back into Point Mule.
That's a fantastic story.
It's really a great story. We do a lot of good. We're not just, and I've heard there's a misconception that we're all hunters that just want to raise money to kill more ducks, which is not even close to the truth. Mm-hmm. Even though, and I have a panel, I have a members, and we probably got 40, we got between our board members and our committee members, we have about 40 people. Mm-hmm. Half of them don't even hunt. Half of them don't even fish, but they love the outdoors. So they're involved with us, and all our decision making, of course, is based on whatever the DNR is recommending. Mm-hmm. But they allow us the freedom if there's something that needs to get done and we think it needs to get done, we're allowed to, which is this ADA blind. Mm-hmm. And my first thing was, we can't just build a blind for hunting. Mm-hmm. It's got to be accessible to everybody. Now, these are They're very close. Some you can walk to, some you, if you needed to. Mm-hmm. Wheelchairs, very accessible. But some of these now you can drive to during the hunting season and leave your stuff there and bring all your equipment out. It's awesome.
Now, Dan, how interrelated are you two and your groups?
So we actively participate mm-hmm. in the Waterfowl Festival every mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. I'm relatively new to the refuge, so I don't know how long that partnership's been around, but the refuge was established in 2001, mm-hmm. and I believe, I'm not sure how long we've been partnering on it.
Since 2001.
So since 2001. Okay. And we will have our staff there, mm-hmm. Highlighting events at the refuge, and mm-hmm. then also there's the Friends organization, which is the International Refuge Alliance, will also have staff there to talk about refuge activities and run. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the Cooperative Weed Management Area staff, mm-hmm. which is an invasive species group mm-hmm. that works in a large area downriver, mm-hmm. and they're going to be highlighting an invasive plant called frogbit that mm-hmm. grows in wetlands and what they do and how they treat frogbit.
My goodness. Now, so these things, you do work kind of hand-in-hand.
There's a lot of synergy. Yeah. I would agree there's a lot of synergy mm-hmm. and some of the board members on the Waterfowl Festival are mm-hmm. board members for our Friends organization, mm-hmm. so there is quite a bit of overlap in the work we do mm-hmm. Downriver.
And I know that the late John Dingell played such an integral role in your facility and things like that, yet he was one of the most avid hunters around. So I can understand how everything is like this.
He used to come to our festival every year.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And our visitor center is named after the former congressman.
Yeah, exactly. Now tell us some of your events that you have coming up.
Yeah, so we also, another big event that I think, first of all, I think the Waterfowl Festival mm-hmm. is a great place for mm-hmm. families and mm-hmm. kids, to get out and experience mm-hmm. the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Another one is Hawkfest, mm-hmm. which is being led by it's going to be hosted at the Lake Erie Metro Park, part of the Huron mm-hmm. Clinton Metro Park Authority, mm-hmm. and that will be the following weekend, right after this, September 21st and 22nd. And there is, at the Nature Center, there'll be some, vendors and some stuff happening there. Mm-hmm. And then there's the we have some volunteers working at identifying hawks. Mm-hmm. This has been going on for, I think it's 42, maybe 43 years, we've mm-hmm. been collecting data mm-hmm. on, it's a huge migration route for hawks right there, because we're right at the tip of the Western Lake Erie, and hawks are coming down Canada and down mm-hmm. through, Michigan, mm-hmm. and they tend to converge right there, and it's a great area to count hawks. And at times, if you get out there on the right day, mm-hmm. last time I was out there at Hawkfest, there must have been 20 or 30,000 broadwing hawks, and it's absolutely fascinating and overwhelming to watch that many hawks kettle up, which is they kind of circle around. Mm-hmm. They're riding the currents and they're circling around. And they came right over the Nature Center. It was absolutely fascinating. Felt like I was on a National Geographic film or something. So, if you get an opportunity to take your family and your kids down there, hopefully you'll get to see, quite a few hawks. Mm-hmm. The Hawk Watch itself, the location is out by the boat launch. Mm-hmm. So we put up like the orange snow fence there, and mm-hmm. you can go and talk to the volunteers and say, hey, what are you seeing mm-hmm. from bald eagles to gold eagles to osprey to all sorts of different hawks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. How did you get involved in the movement and in your event?
Well, I was kind of made to. My dad was he was involved in it from the 60s mm-hmm. in various forms, and he ran it for about 18 years before I took it over in 2015. Mm-hmm. When I was a little kid, me and my brother used to, when they had shooting there at Point Mulet, mm-hmm. we used to collect the shells mm-hmm. and we would sell them there. Mm-hmm. They had stuff for kids, and if you needed stuff, as far as hunting clothes, mm-hmm. that's where you went.
Wow.
So that's where we got our hand-me-down stuff, and that's where we got all our stuff for hunting. So
now, when it comes to the Waterfowl Festival, for people who are going to go down there, maybe their first time, they haven't been down there before, what are they going to expect to see, and how many people are going to be down there?
Well, we usually expect between 5,000 and 8,000 people.
Okay, all right.
It's a little bit of a walk, but mm-hmm. it's a nice walk. It's basically you're walking down a through nature area, mm-hmm. but it's we've got about 20 some, maybe 30 acres there mm-hmm. that the festival is actually on. But there's an outdoor trading post, mm-hmm. which anything outdoors, we have multitude of new things and old things, duck calls, decoys. Mm-hmm. There's some candle makers. We've got people selling honey. Mm-hmm. And actually, we're almost full, which is really good for us. Mm-hmm. We've got an art tent, mm-hmm. and that's full of various art, whether it's outdoors or outdoorsy kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We have a new addition this year. We have a decoy tent. Years ago, we were known for having a huge decoy show. Mm-hmm. Well, that the bottom of the, even with our more bigger art selection and mm-hmm. kind of the price went down, it kind of fell off. So we got a gentleman that's bringing it back, Tom O'Hara. Mm-hmm. So we're having, it's actually just a show, not a contest. But it's we've got a bunch of people from all over Michigan coming with their antique decoys. You can buy, sell, and trade. Mm-hmm. So, and we have our live auction, which is, we never know what we're going to have. We have a few items we know, mm-hmm. but we also have items that people donate. So mm-hmm. there could be some really good buys, really good deals, various things from hunting trips to taxidermy to just typical boat tours. Mm-hmm. But there's all in various things in artwork and different things in there. But and we also have a beer tent that's mm-hmm. run just on Saturday from noon to 8, which mm-hmm. coincides with the live auction, which mm-hmm. starts at 4. Mm-hmm. We have a kids tent. And that's open to any age, but it's really fun because they get to make their own cotton candy. Mm-hmm. They make popcorn. They paint rocks and they do the pine cone with the peanut butter and put the bird seed on it and they can bring that home. Mm-hmm. And that's really fun for them. There's a few games. Mm-hmm. We have an archery that's mm-hmm. all supervised. This is for any age, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of kids that like to do it. And we supply everything, bows and arrows, but it's supervised. Mm-hmm. So if nobody knows or never shot a bow, this gentleman, Butch Williams, will show you how to do it. And you're shooting at various targets, mm-hmm. whether it's paper targets or animal targets. Mm-hmm. We have a BB gun shoot. Mm-hmm. Same thing, it's supervised by Downriver Guns. Mm-hmm. And it's a blow up, and they put on safety glasses. It's mm-hmm. and the kids go in there and they just shoot at little paper targets. And it's really nice and it's all free. Wow. So we got a slingshot shoot, that's even fun. Mm-hmm. Kids get wrist rockets and they're shooting at targets on them. But that's absolutely free. Mm-hmm. We have dog demonstrations mm-hmm. all day long, both days. And we've got probably one of our unique things is we have the Heron River Championship dog jump.
Mm, okay.
And that is really funny because it's off a pontoon. You go in Heron River. We've got a ramp for the dogs to get out safely. Mm-hmm. Got a ramp to get on the pontoon boat safely. It's 30 feet long. And we had dogs jump to almost 19 feet.
Wow.
And we have dogs, and I hate to say it, one of them was mine, only jumped about 2.5 feet. But he did get up to 5 eventually, but it's a minimal amount. It's $5 for all day jumping, and then the contest is a little bit more. But then they win stuff. The longest jumper of each day wins a plaque, and then mm-hmm. we have prizes set aside for that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things.
Now, Dan, at the visitor center of the refuge, you guys have a regular calendar of events. There's something going on almost, what, weekly?
Yeah, we mm-hmm. have multiple events every mm-hmm. week.
Okay.
From, they can be 1-hour bird hikes mm-hmm. to an all-weekend event. We have one park ranger that led, but other park rangers helped, whittle your own fishing lure mm-hmm. event on the weekend.
Okay.
So, big upcoming events, a lot of our park rangers are focused on teaching kids and adults to fish. If mm-hmm. you've never been out fishing, we adjoin Wayne County Parks, mm-hmm. and there's a 750-foot fishing pier there that gets right out into the middle, and what a unique resource to have right out our back door. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of teaching kids how to fish. One of them coming up is Prey on Pike, and so our staff came up with 4 different events: one for walleye, one for largemouth bass, one for perch, and one for pike. So it's you get to learn the basics of fishing and then some specific targeted methods on mm-hmm. how to catch a particular fish. Mm-hmm. And this fall it's going to be pike. And then they teach you a little bit of history and biology about the northern pike. And so each one of those episodes, I thought, or each one of those programs is pretty unique and just trying mm-hmm. to give a unique opportunity for those that come and visit the refuge.
Do you get a lot of people who haven't been really exposed to that type of outdoor?
That's our, that mm-hmm. is one of our primary focuses. That's mm-hmm. what we want to do, and that mm-hmm. is to get those folks that haven't had an opportunity, mm-hmm. maybe due to, you know, where they live, mm-hmm. Maybe to due to their economic status, maybe to due to transportation, mm-hmm. and try to remove those barriers so they have an opportunity to enjoy the Detroit River. What a great resource that's right out our back door, mm-hmm. And to learn to maybe fish. Mm-hmm. And with the huge, with the large fishing pier there, that's a great opportunity for folks to learn how to fish and learn how to get engaged mm-hmm. and learn about the Detroit River and its, you know, how important that is for us and, you know, clean water, mm-hmm. The opportunity for so many different recreational opportunities out on the river mm-hmm. where we have a kayak, the Wayne County mm-hmm. Parks has a kayak launch. Mm-hmm. You know, there's photography. Mm-hmm. You can sit on a bench and mm-hmm. stare at the river for hours if you want to, however you mm-hmm. want to enjoy the Detroit River. But it is that our site is unique because it's also the last mile of undeveloped land along the American side of the Detroit River.
Wow, fantastic. If people want to get more information on Point Mouillet, waterfowls, where's the best place to get it?
Our website, Point okay. Mouillet, Point Mouillet Waterfowl Fest.
Okay.
.org.
.org. Okay. Dan, what about if people want to know more about the refuge and what it's got going on a regular basis?
The same thing. Our website, mm-hmm. Detroit River International Wildlife Refuge. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's a long name, so I would just Google Detroit River International mm-hmm. Wildlife Refuge mm-hmm. and then go to programs and events.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, very good. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure having you on today. Good luck with all the events going on. Before we go, with the
Hawk Fest,
where's the best place? Is it your website for that activity? Is that the best place to get information? Or
I think we have a link to it on okay. our website, but it's the Detroit River Hawk Watch. Is the event for where volunteers are counting.
Okay.
And then I think Lake Erie. Metro Park okay. has a link to Hawk Fest.
Okay, well, fantastic. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We wish you both luck. And I know the fall is right in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
It's the funnest time of year.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah. And for you, it's got to be.
Oh, yeah. It's busy and it's fun and I enjoy it. So.
Fantastic. Well, pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're here with the last of our guests, Michelle Tangay, okay, from Grow Zeal, an artist and one of the organizers behind Trenton's Art Festival, which runs from September the 7th through the 14th. Welcome, Michelle. We were having a great time mm-hmm. off camera.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us, fascinating story. You grew up in upstate New York.
Yes, on Grand Island.
Oh my goodness gracious. Yes. Now, how in the world do you end up in the Detroit metropolitan area?
Well, I ran away from home.
Okay.
Yes, at the age of 16, landed in Detroit because I wanted to be an artist.
Oh my goodness.
Yep, took the train through Canada. And I had a cousin who lived here, and my cousin was like, you can stay with me for a while.
And what did mom and pop say?
They were pretty upset about it. You know?
Did you come from a big family? Or?
Yeah, I have a few brothers and sisters.
Okay.
But growing up on an island, it was a little conservative, and I was known as like the crazy artist. But it all ended up working out.
Fantastic. That's neat. Now, you end up at the Center for Creative Studies.
Yep, College
Studies.
For Creative
yeah,
Studies.
Right,
yes.
Right, exactly.
It was an amazing school. It's mm-hmm. one of the top art schools in the country, state-of-the-art mm-hmm. facility, and that's kind of what started all of this art journey for me.
And you landed, oddly enough, on Grow Zeal.
Yes.
And you love Grow Zeal. You've got two children.
Yes, I mm-hmm. actually lived in Detroit. I had a few houses there, okay. and then mm-hmm. I was asked to paint a mural on Grow Zeal, and fell in love. I went there to paint this mural, fell in love with Grow Zeal and the whole Downriver communities, and it's just been a joy ever since.
Well, so tell us about the Trenton Art Festival.
Yes.
What do we have going here?
The Trenton Art Festival, it happens September 7th through the 14th.
Okay.
And we have 9 murals, 2 sculptures, 20 events. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, my goodness. Now, tell me about what, if I'm going there, okay, what am I going to see? Okay, am I going to see people actually painting murals?
Yes, you are.
Okay, all right, yes. Tell me a little bit.
So it's really awesome because we took a small strip of the downtown from the Custard Corner all the way to the Downtown Beauty Bar or the Framery. So it's very walkable. And we have some of the best muralists in the state of Michigan. We have one artist that's coming from New York, and they're all painting Trenton-themed murals. We find it very important for our artists to curate the artwork specific for the area. So some of them tell the history of the downtown area, some of them just, you know, celebrate what's so important to Trenton, and then some of them just celebrate the beauty. So we have one artist painting the Elvin Clark. It was the first ship that ever was made in the Trenton shipyard. And then we have the Elizabeth Park Bridge is being painted on a mural. And then we have just some beautiful flowers. So we're really excited.
Now, being a driving force here.
Yes.
Do you get to paint?
I'm painting one mural.
Okay.
I am painting a set of butterfly wings. Okay. That is the one mural that everybody always wants, a pair of butterfly wings, and it's very hard to get artists to do it. So I was like, I'll paint the butterfly wings. And that's going on the side of All About Grace, which is an incredible little boutique. And, you know, the store owners in downtown Trenton is really, in the Downtown Development Authority, is really what made this whole thing happen. I fell in love with the stores, the businesses, the brick and mortars, and we went to the DDA, presented this idea, and the DDA decided to fund it, so we're very thankful for that.
Now, when you say we, who else is involved?
My husband is my partner.
Yes, okay.
And we have a team of people that work on this. You know, it's definitely a labor of love because it's a year-long process of planning something like this. Lots of sketches, lots of going back and forth from the DDA to the murals, like, hey, muralist, can you change this? Can you do that? And then also, what's different with this festival in particular than other festivals is that we collaborated with all of the business owners. So we curated an art collection for each of the businesses to hang in their stores that matched with their aesthetic and what we thought would work good with them. Yeah, and that really happened just because we really loved all of the business owners. You know, we went into like Elliot's Bakery and we met with the businesses. We said, hey, what do you like? And we're doing a whole fruit-themed art collection. And we're hanging that up in their stores. So not only do you get to walk from one corner to the other and see these huge murals being painted, which is a spectacle in itself, but you also get to go into the businesses and see art shows in, I believe it's up to 18 different locations.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, is there a price?
No, it's free. This is completely free for the public. Yeah, and there is an art fair aspect to it. Right next to Roundhouse Barbecue, there's a field, and we have 30 art vendors. One of the feedback that we got when we were doing the art fair was like, hey, can we make it art specific? Like, unless you are a painter, a sculptor, or making pottery, like, you cannot be in this art fair.
Okay.
So, and it was a very small fee for the art fair participants, but we're really excited about that too.
You know, you kind of delve into a topic that I found interesting. I was in the newspaper business for a long time, and there are some art festivals, art fairs, that are really being criticized actively because they've gone from being an art, a festival of art per se, like you're talking to crafts and tidbits and a lot of other things, okay? Did you hear the same thing?
Oh yeah, I've been hearing that. And that we see a lot of it on like artist blogs and on Facebook and things, and we took that all into consideration. We have a history of doing mural festivals. My husband's company did Murals in the Market. There's about 150 murals there. We've traveled all across the country and painted murals, and our focus is, number one, the artists, is that we work with artists that paint, they sculpt, and those are the people that are our main focus. You know, you go to a lot of these festivals and it's like, you know, the freeze-dried candy booth. There were, you know, there was lots of talk about like, oh, there's a shingles company and like at this art festival, why are they there? And we're finding that they're there because they're paying more money for a booth. And the good thing about this is that it was publicly funded by the Downtown Development Authority so that we can cater specifically to the artists and to the businesses and to give them exactly what they want.
Boy, that's a fantastic little story because, I mean, I'm assuming that as you look down the road, you're going to be looking at, especially if you stay in Trenton proper, that you're going to be building something that's going to be lasting.
Oh yeah, you know, we've seen over the last decade that when you invest in public art, a huge economic surge in development follows. You know, you walk down the street and you have these billboards and you're like, oh my gosh, this mural's beautiful. You stop, you take your picture in front of them, and then it's like, what's inside? Oh, I never knew this store was here. And then that store now has a customer for life. They go home, they tell their friends, like, oh, look at these murals. Did you see those? They go downtown, and that's kind of how it all starts. You know, I do have this dream of this five-year plan now that I am in Downriver, and I love it, that I would love to do an entire Downriver mural festival that spans multiple cities, and we can do a few murals in each city and then have a huge celebration. But for right now, I'm so happy in Trenton. The Trenton DDA and City Council is a dream to work with. They've really believe in the power of public art, and they've really believe in the mission that it will cause, you know, huge economic development. And I'm really excited to be working on this project.
I don't blame you. Would you have ever dreamed when you left New York that you would have been sitting where you're sitting now talking about what you're talking about?
You know, I believe all artists are a little delusional at at some point. So yeah, I probably did at some point. I was like, you know, I'm gonna be that person. But yeah, I'm very fortunate to be able to do what I do and to be able to work with the people that I work with, the artists that I work with. It is a dream come true, and I'm just very blessed to be able to do it.
Having a husband who is really ingrained in what you do, okay, has got to help. You've got two really young kids that you told me about. You've obviously got a home and everything else that goes with it. When do you get to do your thing? Is that something that you constantly do, or is it just now almost a hobby?
Yeah, so that's the number one question I get from artists is like, why don't you paint anymore? Because I did have an entire art career. You know, I was so lucky to be able to do it for as long as I did, and I was able to take it as far as I wanted to take it, and now I really get a lot of, you know, gratification from helping other artists achieve the goals that I achieved. And I say once both of my kids are in school, I'll be able to paint again. But it's a lot, it's very difficult to juggle everything.
when people go to this event, you know, when they go and they're watching an artist here or there do their thing, are they going to be seeing nothing but really young artists? Are they going to be seeing kind of a full spectrum of different people?
Full spectrum. You know, we have one artist, Bell, 3,000 feet. He has been painting graffiti. I'm not going to say anybody's age, you know, but he has been painting for a very long time. He's a Downriver artist, absolutely incredible. And he's been doing this for a very, very long time. He now, you know, has a family, he has kids, and and then you have younger kids that are, you know, that are just excited to be involved in their first mural festival. So there is definitely a wide range. And I think the one thing that's so magical about this whole process is that it's like watching somebody just perform a giant magic trick. It's like, how did they get this incredible, beautiful piece of artwork on this huge building? And being able to see that, I think will be really special for the Trenton residents.
Well, it sounds like it. It sounds very unique. Now, September the 7th through the 14th, is there, when you're talking about scheduling and timetables and things, what are you looking at?
I plan our two big days are the 13th and 14th, because that's when the murals will be done. Okay. And that's when we plan to showcase all of the murals, and we hope that everybody will come out. On the 13th, we have a sip and stroll that goes from 5 to 9 p.m. Okay. And then on the 14th, it goes from noon until 6. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're going to be celebrating all of the beautiful murals being completed and all of the art shows.
Are you nervous?
I'm more excited, you know, a little nervous, but you just never know. Mm-hmm. And there's always a few people that don't like murals, you know, that I have to deal with, but I'm used to that by now.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, it has been a pleasure having you on. And I'm going to talk to Rich Williams, our producer, because I'd like to have you back on at some point, because you'd be a very interesting study to have on for a full show.
But Let's do it.
We'd love to. Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you. Thanks to Michelle, and we'll be back in a moment. We're out of time on this episode of Destination Downriver. Thanks to our guest, Dan from the International Wildlife Refuge, Michelle from the Trenton Art Festival, Bob from the Waterfowl Festival, Mike from the Apple Fest, and our own Back Road Divas, Rena and Angie, who will be overseeing the Lobstoberfest in Trenton. Now is the time to put these great events on your schedule and celebrate the fall season. The local delicacies, history, and culture of each community will be on full display. To find out about the events we discussed today, along with others scheduled around the Downriver area, visit DestinationDownriver.com or check out Destination Downriver's Facebook page for more details. Until next time, for Joe Camilleri and Samantha Rickert behind the scenes, I'm Carl Zimak. We'll see you on the next episode of Destination Downriver.
Thank you again to our sponsors, Martinson Family of Funeral Homes and Allegra Marketing, with a special thanks to our production partners here at the new Taylor Media Center. Thanks for listening and watching. Please visit our website, destinationdownriver.com, or our Facebook page, and be sure to join us for next month's podcast.